What's up, everyone? Happy Tuesday. Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we have another episode for you today of our CUSA football season preview series. And next up on this episode, we will preview the Jacksonville State Gamecocks and their 2024 season. 2023 was a great year for Jack State. They came out hot in their first season in Conference USA, going 9-4 and making a bowl game, even though technically going into the season, they were not eligible for postseason. But this year, they are fully eligible, fully ready to take on a CUSA slate that is bound to be a fun one. And one thing about Jacksonville State that you can definitely count on, it will be some fun football. Rich Rodriguez says it best. It is must-watch television. Those Gamecocks get out there. They play hard edge, as Coach Rodriguez says, and it is just a lot of fun to watch. All right, so today we have in store for you two different segments, as we have done with the other episodes so far. Starting out with our beat writer segment, we have Mark Edwards of the Anniston Star joining us today. He has 40 years of experience as a sports journalist, most recently, like I said, at the Anniston Star as their senior editor for sports. So he has a lot of great information on Jack State. They've got 1 week of camp under their belt, so he has seen quite a few things from the Gamecocks so far and goes into some detail about some players on their program and some things that we can watch out for. And then next, we will slide right into an interview that I got to do with Coach Rodriguez, J-Rock Swain, and Sean Brown at Football Media Day here just a few weeks ago. It is a little more of a fun segment, a little more fun, a little less football. So we have both of those interviews for you today. And then Josh Yonis from our office also joining me on that interview with Mark Edwards at the start. So it's a long one again, guys. I hope you've been enjoying these, though, going into some detail, doing a deep dive into each of our schools and their football seasons coming up. So we will go ahead and get right into it. Here is our interview with Mark Edwards of the Anniston Star. All right, everybody. Our guest today on CUSA Insider from the Anniston Star down there in Anniston, Alabama, we have Mark Edwards, senior editor for sports there, joining us. He has been a sports journalist for 40 years, getting his start at my alma mater, Alabama, at the Crimson White there at the student newspaper. So, Mark, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, Mark, let's get started and talk about some Jacksonville State football. That's why we're here, to preview the season. They had an incredible breakout year in Conference USA last year, going 9-4, winning a bowl game in their first year in the FBS. What are they going to do this year after such a great 2023 season? What can we look forward to out of the Gamecocks in 2024?
Well, they lost a lot of seniors, and they also, larger schools rated them pretty good in the transfer portal. So my initial thought was it's going to be really hard to match that. But from what I've seen so far, who they've got coming in as freshmen, who they've had coming in before, are now getting a chance, I think they're going to be pretty strong. I think the defense is going to be better than people realize. They have a new defensive coordinator, Tyler Olson, who came from Tulsa. He was DC there, and also before that worked for a longtime friend of Rich Rodriguez's. Say that three times real fast. And then, but I do think when I look in practice, the defense is ahead of the offense. The offensive line, I think, is going to be excellent. It's going to be really big. The new right guard they've had is like 6'8", 230. The new right tackle is 6'7", 335. I mean, they're really large across the front. And I know you guys probably know all about Sean Brown, the tight end, because he made all conference last year. He's back, and he's an excellent, excellent blocker. The big thing is just who's going to play quarterback. The top three guys are Logan Smothers, who was with the team last year, had transferred from Nebraska. They've also got Tyler Huff, who transferred from Furman, where he set some records. And they've also got Zion Turner, who's a transfer from UConn. All three are good. They've got five others on the roster. If you've never seen a Rich Rod practice, you would be amazed to see how he can actually get eight quarterbacks lots of reps. So if there's a guy who's going to stand out, he will get the chance. But those other three are probably the top three to look for. Rich Rod has always said, if you're good enough to win with, I'll play you. I'll find a way to play you. And he means that at quarterback too. So right now, my money is on Logan Smothers because he's been in the system for a year, but I would not rule out Turner or Huff, especially Huff. When I watch him in practice, I really like what I see. But then again, I remember Rich Rod's first year, the guy I thought says, wow, that guy's going to win the job. Season starts, it's someone else. So it doesn't always seem to work out that way. So again, to answer your question about what can we expect, I think they're going to be real good. I think they're going to get a chance to go to another bowl. And, I don't know what the other teams have, but I think Jacksonville State will be competitive for a championship.
When you look at this season, we talk a lot about this transition to the FBS. Going into 2024, fully postseason eligible, done with the transition. I saw the athletic department put out a ton of content this week about the opening of the new football facility. When you look back at your time covering Jack State and this transition, just how impactful is it for the community, for the university, to see the kind of strides that they've been making to kind of get on a national platform now?
I think I'm actually very impressed by how enthused people seem to be about Jacksonville State football. They've got a long tradition going back decades. And football has always been important at Jacksonville State. But as far as the level of enthusiasm, it can dip a little bit and then go back up, and then it can dip a little bit, just depending. It's clearly on an upcycle right now. If you get a chance to visit Jacksonville, Josh, please have them take you through the new facility. You will be amazed. You'll sit there and think, wow, this looks like a Power Five facility, maybe a tad smaller, but it's really good. I think the players especially like the lounge the best, where they can play NCAA 2025. So there's lots of good things there. New turf on the field. They're renovating the stadium. It's a whole new outlook. If you told me 5 years ago that this is where we'd be right now, I wouldn't have believed it. It's just amazing. And especially considering that, we had the pandemic in 2020, and then right after the pandemic, there was so much inflation that their projections of how much they were going to have to spend to get facilities like this, it jumped significantly. And for them to have this, it's a feather in the cap, not just of Rich Rodriguez and the force of his personality, but also Greg Seitz, the athletics director, and Don Killingsworth, the president, who've bought into that vision and made it happen. I still think that this is one of the most impressive things I've seen a college do. Before I covered Jacksonville State regularly, I still do a lot of Alabama, but I used to be a regular beat writer, and I was always impressed by how their athletics director managed a big facilities upgrade about the time right before Nick Saban came. But Alabama kind of had a built-in money base. I don't think Jacksonville State had as much just because it's a smaller school. And for them to change that level of thinking to not just be an FBS school, to just say, we want to put a team out there, but to be competitive and get a nationally recognized coach it's incredible to see.
Yeah, I mean, athletic director Greg Seitz there has done an incredible job with a lot of the stuff that you're saying there. And it's crazy to me. Somebody listening will have to double check me on this. But I'm 99% sure that you guys have the smallest number of students on campus out of all 10 of our schools, but you beat everyone and have the highest attendance average in football in the league in 2023, which is absolutely insane. You guys averaged over 20,000 attendees. Your school doesn't even have 20,000 students like that go there. So great things happening there at Jacksonville State. Like you said, lots of credit to Greg Seitz, Rich Rodriguez, donors and people who are spending a lot of money to make sure that your student athletes do have the best facilities there. But one thing I love about Jacksonville State football that I've gotten to watch over the past year and will get to watch again in 2024 is the brand of football you guys play. I don't know how to describe it other than must watch and super fun. So what do you think about the brand of football? Maybe you can go into a little bit more intricate detail than super fun and must watch, but there is something about Gamecock football that just draws you in. Can you pinpoint that?
I think a big reason is it's successful. You know, Rich Rod, he's known for playing fast and wanting to move fast. We've all seen that for years, and there's a lot of teams that move fast now, but none of them do it quite like Rich Rod, because it isn't just constant fast. It's almost like he's willing to pull back some. But one thing I've noticed, and I'm sure everybody in the league has noticed this, if he finds what he considers a mismatch for his offense, he will push it so fast that the other team can't substitute to eliminate that mismatch. In fact, I noticed in the bowl game, there was a point early in the game where Rich Rod just went ballistic on the sideline. And the reason was is because the referees, it was too fast for them. So they held up, allowed the other team to substitute. And he's sitting there saying, "You just eliminated what I wanted to do. You allowed them to substitute." So I think it's fun to see that even if you may not, while you're watching, you may not sit there and identify, oh, they don't have an extra defensive back end to guard that play or anything, you know, some of the minutiae. It's fun. There'll be times it's fast. There'll be times it's just power football. I think what makes it fun and must watch is they do have a type of offense that can function at different levels. Yes, if you want to go into a shootout, he's got the playbook for it. But as I'm sure you guys know, if you need to just line it up and just – let's see if we can knock you off the ball more times than you can knock us off the ball. They can do that. They one of the top, 10, 15 teams in the nation in rushing, and they'll be good in rushing again this year. They'll have a quarterback who can run the ball. They'll throw the ball. It's just, it can be different things. As you know, Sarah, from having been at Alabama and living in the South, we like to pride ourselves on blue-collar, tough football. You know, that's what we grew up with. One of the things that I think maybe some older fans, they don't really like the type of offense that all they do is throw. It just, we're going to back up, we're going to throw it. But Jacksonville State, again, if they have the mismatch and need to run the ball, they'll run the ball 12 times, and the 12th play will be a touchdown. And those older fans who remember that can sit there and say, yes, that's what I remember. And defensively, you know, you brought up a good point. Defense wins championships. They understand that. Coach Olson, that's why he was brought aboard. You know, the last defensive coordinator was terrific, Zach Alley, and he got a chance to move up. And now Coach Olson will get the same, because I'm sure he'll do well at Jacksonville State.
You talk about how well they have been able to run the ball. And I think a key to that is obviously guard Clay Webb, who picked up first team preseason all first team. You didn't mishear me. Preseason All-America honors going into the year. He was the highest ranked player in the G5 in the new college football game. Obviously a lot of hype going into, you know, his final year there at Jack State. And you look ahead to April and you start to think, this could be, you know, an early round draft pick out of Jacksonville State. And again, this just kind of goes back to, you know, a lot of the growth and branding conversations that we've had. But what does a player like that do for a program like Jacksonville State? And just kind of talk to me about what you've noticed about his game and the role that he's played in really establishing this offense.
Well, one, it just... Let me back up just a second and talk a little bit about Clay's background. Clay is actually local. He is from Oxford, Alabama, which that's where I live. It's about a 30-minute drive from campus. And Clay came out of Oxford High School, one of the most recruited linemen in the Southeast. He signed with the University of Georgia as a center. And I think he would have been great anywhere he went. Part of the issue at Georgia is he got caught in the, you know, the numbers game. Sometimes it can just be hard. You can be a great player, but it just, you have to wait and wait and wait for your time to come. Transferred to Jacksonville State. I think this is his third year on campus. Moved to guard, which really is just a great position for him. I think at first they might have tried him a little bit at tackle, but then immediately found that at guard he could dominate. And Josh, you're exactly right. That does a lot for the school because he's been getting a lot of individual honors, a lot of individual mention. And every time he gets something, you know, that's a new little thing you can post on social media. A release goes out. And it's not just Clay. You know, Fred Carter is on the Thorpe watch list. Jack Dawson, not the guy from Titanic, the punter for Jacksonville State, is on the Ray Guy watch list, which is reasonable considering this is his fifth year punting. I mean, I wonder if he's just going to slide under the radar and just punt for 20 more years. But, you know, as long as they'll let him punt, he's going to do it. But Clay, really, it's a chance for not just Jacksonville State, but for other schools in Conference USA that you can see that, yeah, it just, he's yet another example that you don't necessarily have to go play in the Southeastern Conference to get drafted high. Sure, they'll have the most guys drafted, but sometimes you just need a chance to play. And Clay found a chance to play. And so again, by the time he finishes, that's going to be what, 30 to 35 collegiate starts. So somebody who gets him in camp in the NFL is going to say, this guy's played a lot. Where if he'd gone to Georgia, it may have been a year as a starter. He still would have gotten drafted, but it may have been a case of you come into a camp and they're saying, well, he's kind of a project because he hasn't played a lot. Clay is just, it's amazing to watch him practice. I swear, I think he could just about run that part of the offense. You know, I noticed they never really have to say anything to the offensive line during practice because Clay kind of has it together. I'm sure there's lots said in meeting rooms, but on the practice field, he's what's the old saying? Large and in charge. He's a large guy and he's definitely in charge. And yes, it does do a lot for Jacksonville State to have someone like that.
So important to have those leaders on the field. If you had a coach on the field, you're doing something right. Somebody's figuring out the X's and O's and being able to be that coach there on the field. Well, one thing you mentioned earlier that I wanted to touch on again was your rushing offense. So ranked third nationally at the end of the year in rushing offense, but you've got
a little bit of a hole, I feel like, to fill maybe this year with quarterback Zion Webb having that dual threat. He graduated. And then you've got Malik Jackson, your running back, who also graduated. So where do you think you guys need to maybe fill in, or who might fill in those positions on the running game? Because you said you think that rushing offense is still going to be really good this year. So who can we look forward to seeing on the field at the running back position, or maybe that dual threat quarterback position?
Well, Malik Jackson was a terrific, terrific running back, and he also benefited, I think, from opportunity. They have two guys. One is Ron Wiggins, who graduated from Jacksonville High School, which I swear is so close to campus that he could walk out of the stadium and walk to his high school football field. I mean, it would be about a 10-minute walk. Hometown hero. He was the MVP of the New Orleans Bowl. He missed five games last year because he had a chest injury, and that limited him. So, you know, his final numbers were like about 450 yards, which you may say, well, that's not much. But I promise if he had been healthy the whole year, his numbers would have looked more like Malik Jackson's. They would have split a lot more time. I think he's going to be excellent. I think Ron's going to be a star. And if he can stay healthy over 12, 13 games, you know, he's going to post 800, 900 yards. There's also another running back who missed four games with an injury, but he's pretty much just as good as Ron Wiggins, is Anwar Lewis. They call him Q. I'm going to have to ask him one of these days where that comes from. I'm sure there's a story. But he is an excellent, excellent running back. And also, you know, as Rich Rod will tell you, the transfer portal, it took some guys away, but they also got some guys back. There is a running back who they got from the University of Georgia, Andrew Paul, originally from Dallas. Now, I think he would have played at Georgia. He's a sophomore in eligibility, which means he has three more years. And I think he'll be the next really good running back. But again, there's others who will stand out too. Rich Rod says the same thing about running backs as he does about quarterbacks, that if you're good enough to win with, we'll let you play. Now, I guess he could let Anwar Lewis or Ron Wiggins just say, you're my running back, we'll let you carry the ball all the time, and they'd get 1,400 yards. But he does tend to split it up, which is good, because somebody gets hurt, someone else, it's just like, well, I'm already used to playing and getting a bunch of carries, so we're good. And also at quarterback, again, I think Logan Smothers is the guy to watch. But I really do like Tyler Huff and Zion Turner. I think he's going to be a good one, too. And again, there may be that little group of five that's they don't wear the blue jerseys in practice. They wear the white ones. I think there may be somebody out of that who steps forward. You know, Rich Rod likes his quarterbacks. He really does.
When you look at the schedule, obviously a jam-packed schedule, you have six teams that played in bowl games last year, five that won at least eight games, three with 10-plus wins. Beginning that first week, you guys are, you know, right, I know we got week zero, but in terms of the Conference USA schedule, you guys are up first against Coastal Carolina on a Thursday night, a nationally televised game. Just talk to me about what you're really looking forward to when you look across this schedule and the opportunities that you see for, you know, the Gamecocks in kind of a pivotal year.
Well, I think obviously the non-conference schedule is interesting because there's Coastal Carolina, and they lost last year at Coastal, but felt like that was a game they should have won. Louisville, that's a chance to hit the road. Eastern Michigan, I think they match up well with Eastern Michigan. They're very pleased, too, to get Southern Miss to come here and play. That's pretty big. But, Josh, what I'm looking forward to is the Conference USA schedule. I think I thought it might take a long time to develop rivalries, and we'd kind of have to see how that played out. But I think, I don't know, there's just something about the the type of school that's in Conference USA that I think they're developing rather quickly. Kennesaw State is very important to Jacksonville State. They have played before, and so they play that first conference opener. I think Middle Tennessee State ends up being kind of a natural rival. Liberty, I don't know how it is on the Liberty end, but I think Jacksonville State, again, wanting to win the league, and you figure, well, if we want to win the league, we got to beat Liberty. So I think that's big. You know, they've played FIU before. Western Kentucky is close by. Louisiana Tech. Those are all fun games, and they were fun last year for Jacksonville State. So I think some of these teams that they're playing in the league are just, it's going to be pretty easy to develop quick rivalries. And I imagine your commissioner probably is thinking the same way, is just, you know, it really is, in a way, it's a little bit of an old-fashioned conference because so many of the teams are so close to each other, which is really nice. It just, so I'm very interested to see those conference games. And also, again, Josh, I know you are well aware of this. I'm not telling you anything new, but those midweek games, I think that's worked out better than anybody could have thought, and especially for Jacksonville State, because it seemed like their most exciting games were midweek games. It's people really like those Wednesday night games. I know I do. I'm guessing you do too, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, the proof was in the pudding, like we talked about earlier with, you know, the attendance marks that, you know, Jacksonville State put up. So you guys definitely proved that, yeah, they got excited for the midweek games. Yeah, we love it. I think it, you know, is definitely a very unique opportunity to showcase our schools on national television. Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, really excited for the, you know, Jacksonville State schedule. And it's funny. I mean, what a concept that a conference can be made up of schools that make sense regionally. I mean, it's almost like that was the original idea, right? You know, not pointing any fingers at any other leagues, but no, that is definitely a strength of ours. And it's interesting for, you know, maybe people who don't really think about the geography of the Southeast, but, you know, the two schools you mentioned, Middle Tennessee and Kennesaw State, being in other states, being your closest rivals. Cause I think both of those, you know, with Jacksonville State being there in North Georgia, both those schools are under 90 minutes away, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Jacksonville State is about 90 minutes from Kennesaw State. Middle Tennessee's a little bit farther, like 3 to 4 hours, but still that's very close. And also, I know we're talking football, but a lot of these schools are close enough that kids who participate in other sports, their parents can visit them pretty easily. And it also expands the footprint of where you recruit. You know, got kids from Louisiana on your roster. Hey, guess what? We're going to be in your home state this year. And, you know, again, those midweek games, I'm sure it means something a lot. Or it means a whole lot for Jacksonville State and for Conference USA that, like, after an exciting Wednesday game on Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, national talk shows are talking about Conference USA football. And that's hard to do on the weekend. There's nothing wrong with playing traditional Saturday games, but there's so many games nationally, it's hard to break through. And on Wednesday night, Thursday morning and afternoon belongs to Conference USA.
Yep, Mark, it's really fun for us here at the conference office to own the airwaves in the middle of the week during the month of October. And for your writing for this fall, I'll tell you, we've branded it a little bit as Weekday CUSA. It rhymes. It's super fun. So if you want to use that, we'd appreciate it. So yes, that's what we're calling it, Weekday CUSA fun. So I did want to kind of end it on this question, unless Josh has something else to follow up with. But one thing that really isn't talked about a whole lot with this team is the fact that you guys have 40 newcomers. You lost 15 starters, only returning 12. A lot of those were graduates, not transfers, which I think says a lot about Rich Rodriguez and the program there. But is there a feeling of trying to have to get to know 40 new people? Do you feel like that's happening really organically and really quickly compared to some of the other teams that we've talked to? I mean, 40 newcomers seems like a lot, but it doesn't seem to be affecting you guys in that bad of a way. So can you talk a little bit about just the new look of this team this year, or if you guys are kind of keeping it the same and just plugging in those new guys where they fit?
Well, I think having a veteran coaching staff, I think they're very good at moving in the newcomers and making it work. You know, some of these coaches have been around forever. I mean, Rich Rod's been a head coach for almost as long as I've been alive. And it just, he's been through it all. He's seen it all. And he's got some older assistant coaches who are the same way. I think it can be harder for guys when you have, say, maybe five or six transfers or can kind of feel like they're on an island. It's like the coach says something and everybody starts moving in a direction. You're saying, what, huh? When you have that many, I think it was a lesson Rich Rod's first year where he had about 50 newcomers. So he quickly found out the best way to bring them together and to get them all on the same page. So I think when it's this many, it's not like it was, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago when you wouldn't have that much movement. It's not that unusual now. Guys, they seem to adjust better across all sports, not just football. And again, I think the coaches there just do a wonderful job of bringing them together and figuring out how to make it one team. And especially these days, having them all on campus during the summer. And by the time you get to August, all these guys know each other. You know, the way it used to be a long time ago, I still remember covering Gene Stallings at Alabama, and he would have 3 days of practice of just the newcomers so that they could get a chance to kind of get to know things. Well, now these guys are coming in. It's like they're graduating in May and they're on campus a week later. It's a different world. And I don't think 40 newcomers is as shocking as it used to be.
I mean, things have changed in 10 years since I graduated. I can't imagine, like, I mean, talking back to Gene Stallings days, but we will reminisce. I'll call you, Mark. We can reminisce on some old Alabama football at some point soon.
Please give her an opportunity to get it out somewhere else because we're tired of hearing it.
I can't help it, Mark. I can't. So one quick thing for you. I think that's all we have, but I did want to give you a chance. Anything going on with you, Mark? Anything else going on at Jacksonville State that you want to speak to before our time together here is done?
Well, there's a huge story coming out about, or that has come out regarding Jacksonville State softball. The beloved head coach, Jana McGinnis, and Josh, you know, you've met her before. You know how wonderful she is. You know how popular and what a great person she is. She is retiring, and we have a story at our website that you can read so you can see the details. It's a great loss for softball. One of the best people, one of the absolute best people. It's funny, Rich Rod, at his first news conference, it seemed like the person he enjoyed meeting that day and talking with was Jana McGinnis. And I totally understand.
Yeah, I mean, just from the, obviously, you know, last year being the first year to get the chance to work with her, you know, all my interactions with her were incredible. And, you know, maybe a lot of people that aren't as in tune to the softball world, you know her name. But when you look up who are the active leaders in wins right now in college softball. I mean, she is right up there with all the greats, with, you know, the Patty Gassos of the world, you know, Oklahoma, amassing, I know, more than 1,000 wins. I don't know where she landed at the end of this past year, but truly a staple of Jackson State softball, the namesake of their stadium already before she was even done coaching, which is insane. I mean, I think Bill Snyder, Kansas State's the only one that I can think of that, you know, has a feat like that. So, a huge loss for softball as a whole, but certainly there at Jacksonville State.
Well, she, years ago, like 15 years ago or so, they named the road that goes by the stadium for her. Now, if you look on Google Maps, they have her name misspelled on that. I don't know how to fix that. but the funny thing is, I don't know, about 8 or 9 years ago, my mother was in town and I happened to be at something where we ran into Jana McGinnis. And so I introduced her and my mother said, "I'm really impressed. You have a road named for you." And Jana says, "Oh, well, it's a dead end. So it's no big deal."
That's hilarious. Well, I have a contact at Google. I'm going to have to reach out and see if we can get that fixed, Mark. Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining us. If you're wanting news, if you're listening to this right now and you want news there on Jacksonville State, go read Mark Edwards' articles on the Anniston Star website. Grab a paper if you're in town. And we just really appreciate you for joining us today, Mark, and looking forward to another fun, and it will be fun, with a capital F-U-N season from the Jacksonville State Gamecocks. So thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you.
Coming up next here on CUSA Insider, we have the Jacksonville State Gamecocks. We have three folks from the Gamecock program joining us today. First up, head coach Rich Rodriguez is here with us today. We've got Sean Brown and J-Rock Swain joining us here on CUSA Insider live from Frisco, Texas at the Conference USA Football Media Day. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Happy to have you here.
Hey, it's great to be here. And we always talk about Jack State being must-watch TV. This must be must-listen podcast. Right?
That's right. It is. It is. Everyone listen to Coach Rich Rod here. Go subscribe. Go subscribe to CUSA Insider.
Exactly right.
Yes. I mean,
you about our guys, because really, I don't want to say we're a secret as a league or a program, but not enough people probably know or watched us. You know, obviously now with midweek games, that's part of it. But there's some really good football and some probably the most exciting. I think the most exciting college football games there are Conference USA games. So check us out.
Wow. Thank you. I could not have done a better promo if I tried myself.
Yeah, I'm not even paid for that. It's the goodness of my heart, but that is the truth. I really believe that.
Well, thanks, Coach. You know, you led me into a good question. You talk about weekday CUSA games. We had really good ones, and you talk about good football in Conference USA. What is it like to be able to get on the national stage? Not every Group of Five conference has that opportunity, and we own weekdays in October. So tell me about that.
It's really unique. It's a great idea, great concept, and sometimes, how do your players and your staff adjust to it? They'll adjust to it. You know, athletes and coaches adjust to whatever you put out in front of them. But the raise the profile of the schools themselves, the raise profile of the conference, I think has been a great start. And I think it's going to keep getting better. A lot of people didn't find out about it until the end. And once they start tuning in, and now a lot of them have told me, "Hey, we can't wait to watch those midweek games." And it's funny because, you know, a lot of times the coach is talking about, well, what's the adjustment to having Wednesday be a Saturday? You know, the bigger adjustment is probably having Saturday be a Wednesday.
Yeah.
You got to tell your guys, "Hey, this is a midweek day. You got to get to bed. You got to treat it like a kind of a Wednesday instead of a Saturday." And our guys adapted really well. And I think we won 4 of the 5 midweek games. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, as far as exposure for the school and exposure for the league, it was a great start.
I want to ask you guys from a student athlete perspective. I've heard from a few student athletes that it's actually kind of fun because you get to watch college football on Saturdays now. So tell me a little bit about kind of the weekday game process for you.
I would say it's very much different. You get to wake up on a Tuesday and you got a game. I mean, I ain't did that since I was in Little League, maybe 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
So I would say it's different in that aspect, but as a student, it's very much different when you got to go to class, you know, and
sure,
missing class throughout the week. But yeah.
I think it's kind of the same thing. It kind of messes up with your class schedule a little bit, but I've been through mostly online classes for a while now. But Kind of like you were saying, I like the aspect of being able to, you know, wake up on a Saturday and watch some football, and same thing with Sunday, not having to worry about the game that we're going to have that week.
Right. Yeah. There's no college game day, just sitting there watching other, you know, I know you probably have friends that are playing on Saturdays too, that you get to watch. So I thought that was kind of a fun aspect of it. But all right, J-Rock, I have to ask you, J-Rock, where does this name come from? Why do we call you this? I want to know. I like it.
So I was telling somebody the first day we got here. So my dad, when I was in my mom's stomach, I guess he touched my mom, and I guess I was hard or rock or something. Mm-hmm. So my name is Jalen. So he just took the J and put a rock behind it. And then my mom was like 6 months pregnant. And then,
so you have been called that like your entire life. Yeah, it before, is your name.
Yeah, before I even was born. Yeah.
If somebody calls you Jalen, it's just like that's what your mama calls you probably.
No, she don't.
She doesn't even.
All my high school teachers and everybody call me Gerard. Like even my professors at the school call me Gerard. Nobody calls me Jalen.
It's a pretty sweet nickname.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. You. Well, guys, tell me a little bit about, you mentioned being a student athlete. I love to ask athletes what their majors in and are in and why. And you know, obviously we hope that you get to go on and play professional football, but at some point you will be a professional in the business world. So tell me a little bit about what your majors are and why you chose them.
So I'm getting my master's in sports management right now, and hoping to, you know, if things don't work out in the league, to eventually get into coaching or some kind of recruiting aspect of college football, just because I've been doing it my whole life and I think it's something that I'd be really good at.
I chose PE, physical education. I really say PE because I chose it because it was my favorite thing to do in school. Like, yeah. I always loved going to PE. My PE coaches was the best. Like, I just love PE. But I want to go into coaching so after. So,
all right.
Two guys should be coaches?
Yeah. What do you think?
Two more. And two guys will be outstanding coaches because, one, they've been through different systems, which helps. But they're also two guys that you got to kind of love and not like it. You know what I mean? You got to love the sport. You got to love football. And we got a bunch of guys like that, but these two in general love football. You can see it by the way they play and the way they approach it.
Yeah. I would you say that these two are leaders in the locker room this year?
Yeah, no question. We have, you know, we've had great senior leadership in my entire time there. And this is the third year. And this year we have more seniors, but we have just a handful like Sean and J-Rock that have been there since day one. They've been with our program for 3 years and been at Jack State for four years. So it's that, from that aspect, from the respect they got from everybody in our program, it gives them some natural leadership qualities, but they even take another step to do that. And so couldn't be more proud of how they've approached it. And I'm looking forward to the leadership this year.
Awesome. Let's talk a little bit more about the locker room from a fun aspect. So I want to know, who is the funniest guy in the locker room this year? Who's cutting up?
The funniest in the locker room? I have to go with Ricky Samuel. Like, not just, it's just the things that he do is funny. Like, he tries to be
funny.
It's just a natural
person. Yeah, and in fact, he's 36 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seen some things.
Yeah, he's been around.
Do you have a different answer or you agree?
No, I'd completely agree with that one.
Okay. Who's too serious in the locker room? Who needs to lighten up a little bit?
Coach Richard.
No, he's probably sure. Yeah. He's lighten me up.
Everybody just go with the flow.
Everybody has a good time.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I've gotten some different answers on that. Some guys that need to lighten up. But now I have not asked this question yet. What about the coaching staff? Who's the funniest on staff?
Mm. Oh, I would. Well, you know, there's my chief of staff, Big Dusty.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of thrills. And then my tight end coach, Sean's coach, Coach Nicewander, can get a lot of laughs and doesn't do it intentionally, just in his nature, especially when he takes his shirt off. You know, he can, and he's not shy about that either, but and he shouldn't take his shirt off. He should keep his shirt on. But we have a good time teasing each other too. I don't get it as much as they get it from me. And Dusty's been getting it from me from Big Dusty for like 40 years or 35 years.
Big Dusty.
I do. I'm really fortunate. I got a really good staff. Got some old guys with experience and some young guys that think I'm going to have great careers in this profession.
Yeah. You mentioned Coach Nicewander. He and I actually graduated from Alabama the same year. We didn't know each other well, but his aunt was one of my favorite teachers.
He really did graduate. Okay. I know they got great education there at the University of Alabama, but nice graduate. Okay.
Yes. His aunt was one of my favorite teachers. I love her. But so Jacksonville, Alabama. It is a town that loves their football. I mean, the state of Alabama in general, there's no professional team in Alabama, so you've got to follow college.
Yeah, and I think we're the smallest Division I town that has football.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's kind of unique. And we're getting a little bigger. You know, I think something makes some people in the town nervous because, geez, we're campus is growing. We got a Whataburger in town. We got, you know, Dunkin' Donut. What else we got? We got
moving on up in the world.
Chick-fil-A. We're moving on.
Like, yeah.
We got it going on. But it's really kind of neat because football is important. And I want it to be important. I want people to be excited about coming to their games. And I think we averaged the most attendance in Conference USA. And I hope to break that record this year.
Awesome. Guys, what do you like about Jacksonville, Alabama?
I grew up not too far from Jacksonville. So
are you from Oxford?
Yeah, I'm from Oxford. Yeah. So I always been in Jacksonville my whole life. So everything is just right there. So I like Jacksonville because it's very small. Like I got college friends that play at other schools. They don't like the town because it's so big and so many other people. Like I tell them, like, we walk in classroom, it's 10 people in the classroom. I know everybody in there and my professor know me. So I like Jacksonville.
That's pretty cool.
That's kind of the same thing. I'm from Rome, Georgia, just like right over the state line. So, I mean, it's like a second home to me. I can go home in 45 minutes if I need to. So, I mean, it's nice being in a small community like that, too.
You know, Jack, it's always been probably looked at, Jack State, as kind of a regional school in some respects. But I think now, hopefully, not just our program, but, you know, our bowling team won a national championship.
Yep.
We're good in other sports. We got one of the best marching bands in college in the country, in a marching Southerner. So I hope more people will take a look at Jack State because it's a great town to go to school at. I mean, I think they call it the friendliest campus in the South for a reason. And, you know, obviously we're excited about the football program. So check us out. I'm just talking about everybody. Not
everyone. Just, yeah, everyone. That's right.
Come check out Jacksonville, Alabama. It's the one in the mountains, not the one by the beach.
Yes, that is a very important distinction to make. Well, I did want to ask you. So you said you were from Rome, Georgia, just over the state line. There is a school that has just joined Conference USA in its first year now, Kennesaw State, not far from you guys over there in Kennesaw, Georgia. And you guys were members together in the ASUN before coming to Conference USA. I talked to the athletic director, Milton Overton, there a few weeks ago, and he's like, we're going to try and make this a rivalry game. We're working on that. How is that being perceived on campus?
I think it became kind of a rivalry before we moved. I think I can remember because they were really good, and Jack State's always been pretty good. So it was kind of a rivalry. It was actually, I believe, our first year, wasn't that our cigar game?
Mm-hmm.
We had one game, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I think we had that as a cigar game, and rightfully so, because it's the closest location to anybody else in the league, and it's gonna be a fun rivalry for sure.
Yeah, I think so, too. What about you guys just being part of that program and getting to have played with them before? Are you guys going to try and bring that one up a little bit more?
Yeah. I mean, I would say Kennesaw State was a team we always lost to when I first got to Jacksonville. So it always been a rivalry for us, and they were in the triple option.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the game you always looking forward to. So, yeah.
It's like being from Rome, too. I know a lot of people that go to school there, so it's always nice to beat somebody that – well, you know somebody that goes to school there.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Well, Coach, you mentioned this, and I wanted to ask you about it. Jacksonville State won a national championship in women's bowling this year. I saw that you guys, a couple of players, and maybe some staff members actually wrote them individualized notes when they made it.
And we met them when the bus pulled in. And,
so cool.
Made the proclamation that we are now a bowling school for sure. But it was unbelievable. I mean, the first year doing it to win a national championship. And I think there might be at the White House today.
I think yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. What a time to be there. But anyway,
yes,
that's, you know, they've done a great job there. And it's amazing when you think, oh, you know, they got to throw strikes. But when you see how much detail goes into it, it's like watching. It was the first time full disclosure, I've ever watched a college bowling match was a national championship. And for 3 hours, I was glued into it. And if you didn't have a strike or a spare, you had an open frame, you weren't going to win that,
nope,
that game. Right. So it's amazing that the things, how defined that they are, and to win a national championship is really kind of neat.
Well, guys, I want to ask you from a player's perspective, because I think I kind of have an idea of what Coach is going to say on this one. But you talk about being hard edge, okay, as a Jack State program. From a player's perspective, I kind of want each of you in your own words to tell me, what does hard edge mean to you?
Don't be soft.
Yeah.
Don't be soft. Come out, play hard, play fast and physical. That's what we always be pre-start of time. So, yeah, that's what hard edge mean to me. playing fast.
Yeah, and it's just like how our offense is fast tempo. You want to beat up on the other team. Best way to do that is play hard and play fast.
Listen, I've told them the two worst four-letter words, and I've said a few of them. But the two worst ones are soft and lazy. And so we take pride in that we're not going to have to say that too often. And, you know, every once in a while, a guy gets tired and we got to remind him. But
yeah.
But we don't have a lot of catchy slogans. We have two that we go by, and hard edge is one and earned success is the other. And that's, if you look around our campus and the designs that we put up in our new building, whatever, it'll have those two things, hard edge and earned success.
Okay. Just recently, you guys released something on social media that I'm very excited about. There is a new field design in the works with the AKC in the middle of it, the butt kicking chicken for our PG rated podcast here. What is it about that logo that people love so much?
A shout out to my daughter, Raquel, here, that does all of our social media, and that she designed, kind of put the design of the field together, and it was time for the new turf anyway. But, you know, some of the folks said, where did that come from? It actually used to be our school logo back from 56 to 72 or something like that. And it's unique to us. And so to put that out, I think our guys like, we had a sticker on our white helmets. We have that in the middle of our field now. And then we changed the end zones from Gamecocks because, you know, we want to be our own. And there's more than one Gamecock out there. So our end zones now are going to say Jack State. It's not Jackson State or Jacksonville University. It's Jacksonville State University. And we just shorten that to Jack State.
Yep.
We're Jack State with the AKC. You know what the A stands for?
Yes, I do.
In the middle of the field. So it's going to be a good look. Hopefully that'll be done here in 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, we actually in Conference USA, I take a lot of pride in our mascots around. We have some vintage ones too, like Sammy Bearcat is a vintage. They're going with the vintage look at Sam Houston. You guys are starting to go vintage. Obviously, WKU Big Red is just a thing of its own. But I have a lot of respect for the mascots in the league. I'll tell you that much. Well, we're running out of time here. And there is one question that I have to ask. Everyone who comes on CUSA Insider has to answer this question. We have a segment that we like to call CUSA Eats. So I know you guys like to eat. I know you do, because it's hot out there on that football field and you got to fuel yourselves for it. So I need to know some restaurants in Jacksonville or the surrounding areas that you have to stop at to get a bite to eat. If I come to visit, where do I need to go?
I say my first stop would be in Anniston right before you come over to here to go to Jacksonville, go to BTJ's and get you a 15-piece wing.
Okay.
Which wings you're going to get?
Yeah.
15-piece wings, guys.
Nice. Guys, and they would know. They've been around a little bit. You know, the young guys ask these guys where to eat. So, and it's usually Coach Nice One or Dusty. They will know, too, those guys. So yeah. I usually get them for some advice. But we got, for a little town, and I said Jacksonville, but Anniston and Oxford, which is easily 20, 30 minutes away, there's a lot of nice restaurants there as well.
Awesome. Well, guys, I think that we're out of time, but I really appreciate you guys joining us today. Looking forward to the second season here in Conference USA. You came out of the gate with 9 wins in year one, so you're going to try and one up it this year, two up it, make it to the conference championship game. We're on a good path here.
That's the plan.
Yeah, that's always the plan. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us today on CUSA Insider. Enjoy the rest of your day. It's supposed to be fun, so you guys have fun.
There you go. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you again to Mark Edwards, Coach Rodriguez, J-Rock Swain, and Sean Brown for being guests of the show today. We have a really fun one coming up for you on Thursday, just 2 days from now. The newest members of Conference USA, Kennesaw State, will be joining the program. We'll be talking all about the Owls, all about Kennesaw, Georgia, all about what you can expect from the newest members of CUSA, so you definitely don't want to miss that one. And since you don't want to miss it, you better make sure you're subscribing to the podcast on either Apple or Spotify. And while you're there, if you're enjoying the show, we would really appreciate a review. So go ahead and head on over to Apple or Spotify. Make sure you are subscribing and give us a review while you're there. Also, you can catch up with any CUSA Insider updates on social media, on X or Instagram. You can follow us at CUSA Insider Pod. And there's another way you can get in contact with us if you would like. We do accept emails, questions, comments, concerns, recommendations. You can shoot us a note over at CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. All right, everyone. Like I said before, Kennesaw State preview coming up on Thursday. Be sure you don't miss that one. But that's all I have for you today. You are listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.